Welcome back to Bullseye on the Afternoon on AM 930 WEOL. Andy Bulbarch, Matt Douglas with you up until 5 o'clock today. Time now to return to our Lorain County's First Response Series. It's a project of the Lorain County Addisport, supported through Substance Abuse and Mental Health Administration Award SP080284, First Responders Comprehensive Addiction and Recovery Act Cooperative Agreement. And today, we are talking about the Good Samaritan 911 law. And here in the studio with us, we've got quite the crew from Life Care. We've got Joe Spriestersbach, Rachel Allen, Robert Becker, and Kyle Roth. Guys, thank you so much for joining us. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Well, you guys could be like a barbershop quartet. That was fantastic. In unison, you guys all gave me a good. Usually I get, not bad, I'm all right, thanks for having us, all that good stuff. You guys were all in unison. That was great stuff. So that could be an omen. I think we're in line for a great interview. Joe, we're going to start with you here. For those that aren't necessarily familiar with the 911 Good Samaritan Law, if you can, kind of shed some light on that and tell us what it's all about.
Okay. Well, as we know, Narcan is out there. It's we're saving lives and opioid overdoses. If Narcan is administered to an individual, of course, they still need to be seen by a physician. It can be given by anyone, even in the general public. But if it's not available, the person experiencing the overdose needs immediate medical attention. It's kind of where EMS comes in. But if no one calls, we can't help. That's kind of where we're at with this 911 Good Samaritan law. People who witness other people experiencing an overdose are hesitant often to call 911 out of fear that they themselves are going to get in trouble or that they will get the victim in trouble on like minor drug charges. The idea of this law is to grant immunity to the person who was overdosed as well as to those who may call on their behalf. Of course, it's obviously not limited just to opioids, but any kind of drugs. This law is designed to protect those in cases where even parents or other family members may find a victim overdosed in their home. Again, although the law does offer immunity for minor drug charges, it does not offer immunity for large quantities of drugs, and which would be consistent with somebody who's dealing drugs. The law does contain two other provisions, one of them being that the immunity is only good for up to two times and does not apply to anyone who's on parole. Medical professionals can share information with law enforcement, including the name and address of the person who overdosed, for further investigation and follow-up. Law also requires that the victim is given a referral for treatment within 30 days to receive the immunity. Follow-ups are being done by law enforcement and EMS personnel after the overdose in efforts to help the individuals and their friends and families understand the severity of the situation and the importance of seeking treatment. Our goal is to help get people into treatment, but not just to save lives, but also to restore lives. We want to see these people becoming more productive members of society and being able to return to a healthy, normal life. So, as you mentioned, there's three other paramedics in the room with us, and as you listen to their stories of these men and women who are on the front lines of this battle with addiction, keep in mind that none of these scenarios where we were able to help could have taken place if no one had called 911. Without calling, people experiencing an overdose are very likely to die. Again, our goal is to take the fear out of calling and help save and restore lives.
Very good stuff. Again, it's our Lorain County's First Response Series. And joining us here in studio again from Life Care, Joe Spriestersbach, Rachel Allen, Robert Becker, and Kyle Roth. Robert, I'm going to start with you. I feel bad that I butchered your name. Somehow I nailed Joe Spriestersbach and I messed up Robert Becker. So I'm going to start with you here. And I think it's interesting. You guys have some very fascinating stories to tell. So we'll start with you. Have you had contact with a victim where you were to save that person and they're now sober and they're living a nice, normal life? And if so, what kind of experience was that like for you?
Unfortunately, I have not had anyone come back to me and say at this time that because of what I did that they're where they're at in their life. I do have compassion for these people having addiction and addiction in my family. I know what it's like to see addiction tear people apart and tear families apart. So after they come back and we're in the back together, I kind of have a little heart-to-heart with them and try to get them to understand that, you know, you're being driven by a demon and you need help to get through this, and people can get through it and get to the other side. So my heart goes out to them, and I try my best to get through to them that there is hope at the light. There is light at the end of the tunnel.
Good stuff. Well, I mean, I'll throw this over to Rachel now, since you're right next to Robert. What kind of message would you give fellow EMS providers who are struggling treating those with overdoses and kind of feeling burnt out altogether?
Well, I know it's hard because, like Bob said, we don't have a lot of people that come back to us, and, you know, we see the positive end of things. So I think that when we see this so regularly, it's good to remember to do your stuff outside of work, find a good hobby, ride horses, hang out with friends, you know, do stuff to kind of take your mind off of it, and, you know, come back every day and think that, you know, maybe today is the day that we can actually help somebody and get them back to a good part of life.
Well, Kyle, I kind of feel bad. We've left you out so far, so we're going to throw that same question over to you, the same question I just asked Rachel.
I pretty much agree with her. I know for myself and many others, we do this so repeatedly, sometimes so often a day, that we are burnt out ourselves, and we got to find a good hobby. And if you have vacation time, take vacation time and just know when to either change industries or just take a break. I mean, the shift will get covered and everything else, so you just got to know yourself and know how much you can take.
And we'll throw this out to anybody that wants to answer it now. I mean, does the presence of Narcan in the community, you think the possession of that to the general public can really help save lives? We've heard a lot about Narcan in recent weeks. Do you think that it being out there is enough to help people save lives?
Yes and no. I think that it's a good thing that people do have it, because if they find the person first that's down, they can at least administer it. That's great. You know, first response to helping these people stop the overdose, you know, blocking those receptors is great. But at the same time, I think sometimes it gives a little leeway. People think, oh, well, my buddy has Narcan and I can just use and then he'll give it to me. Well, what if he's not there? What if he overdosed too? I don't know. It's good, but it's also bad. So I think we all kind of feel it could go either way.
Administering Narcan. I mean, for those that are afraid to do that or maybe a little bit hesitant, what kinds of advice can you guys give someone who might be a little bit resistant to administer it?
I think that you should think about that person laying there, that what if that was your family member, your loved one? Would you want someone to step up and help them, or would you want to stand there and watch them?
And if you're not sure how to do it, you know, there's instructions on the box. I mean, get familiar with it. Get comfortable. If you're going to carry it, make sure you do know how to use it. Administering, you know, in each nostril and how much to push through and, you know, getting comfortable with it. If you are going to carry it, make sure you know how to use it.
And I'm sure you can even stop by a fire station or anywhere and ask us. And
or
we'll
us.
Be more than happy to tell you how to use it.
Life Care would be happy to show you.
Good stuff. Well, you guys find people are more aware and quick to call 911 when they think they found somebody who has possibly overdosed?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I mean, we're even getting calls where people are just sleeping in their cars and people are calling because they think they've overdosed and they're just sleeping. So, I mean, we'd rather have them call thinking somebody could be unresponsive than not call at all.
And what would you guys say to those who are kind of hesitant to make that phone call, to make that 911 call?
Again, I just say, think of it, if that was your family member sitting there in that car, what would you want it done? Would you want someone to make that call, or would you want someone just to walk away?
Good stuff. Well, we've covered a lot of ground here today, guys. We certainly do appreciate the time. You know, Joe, we haven't heard from you in a while, so we'll throw it right back to you again. If there's anything else you feel like we haven't touched on here with this 911 Good Samaritan law, I mean, I think very clearly, I mean, all four of you certainly have some sort of experience dealing with those who have suffered through this in some form or fashion. Obviously, the 911 Good Samaritan law is something that could do a lot of good.
Yeah, no, definitely. And that's kind of where it goes back to, you know, don't hesitate. Give us a call. You know, we'd rather come out and find that, like they were saying, you know, find that they were sleeping or making a phone call or anything. Definitely don't be afraid. You know, the idea behind this new law is obviously to grant immunity so these people aren't, you don't have to worry about, oh, I'm afraid that I'll, like a parent calling for a child, you don't have to worry about, well, they're going to press charges. You know, the idea is that we're not trying to do that. We're trying to save lives. We're trying to get these people the help that they need.
Good deal. Well, Joe, Rachel, Robert, Kyle, thank you guys so much for coming in studio. This was a lot of fun. Certainly a very important topic. You guys have a lot of experience with it, so we certainly appreciate you guys sharing some of that experience with us. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
All righty, good stuff. Again, we're talking about the 911 Good Samaritan Law here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. It's Lorain County's first response, a project of Lorain County's Addis Board, supported through Substance Abuse and Mental Health Administration Award SP080284, First Responders Comprehensive Addiction and Recovery Act Cooperative Agreement. Time for a break here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. We'll come back right after this on AM 930 WEOL.